Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny, and you're listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow, Pullman. Recovery Radio is recorded live at the Latah Recovery Center, located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addiction and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. And like I said earlier, I am Radio Johnny, and I'm going to run through the calendar here because we got some important dates coming up here in December. And so Monday through Friday at 12 o'clock, there are AA meetings.
Except for Wednesday.
What's that?
Except for Wednesday.
AAs are on hold on Wednesday. Okay.
Not on Wednesday, but there's a re-entry group.
That's right. Yeah, and I've got that later
on.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
No, perfect. That was important. My bad.
So Monday through, well, actually 7 days a week except Wednesday. And at 7 p.m. All week is the Narcotics Anonymous group. Also Monday 3 to 5, they have the drawing group. And Monday 5:30 p.m., Men's AA. And at 7 p.m., Sexaholics Anonymous. 7:30 p.m. Mondays is the Women's AA group, and they meet at St. Mark's Church. You can link to their Zoom profile from our calendar. Tuesdays at 10:30, yoga. Tuesdays at 6 p.m., all recovery at the U of I at the Campus Christian Center, or now known as the Center. Wednesdays, 11, re-entry support for men, and 12 o'clock for women. And let's see, Wednesday the 18th, a particular special date from 3 to 5, they'll be doing Christmas cookie decorating, and from 4 to 6, there'll be the Christmas potluck. Thursdays 3 to 5, we get free haircuts here. From 5 to 8 is game night, and at 8 p.m. is Sexaholics Anonymous again. Fridays at 5:30 to 6:30, guitar class with JJ. And at 8 p.m., Al-Anon. Now, there are a couple other things coming up regarding our Christmas giving tree. All the gifts, if you haven't pulled a tag yet, you might want to check with us just to see if there's any left. If you have pulled the tag, you want to have the gifts back here by wrapped and ready to go. With the tag, so we know who it goes to, by the 19th, so that they can start picking them up on the 20th. So remember those dates, 19th and 20th, for the giving tree. And you can go to the website to see all the listings for all months, all the events and meeting schedules. And that's at latahrecoverycenter.org. And today in the studio with me, once again, much to my amazement, is Miss Denise.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, everyone. I think you heard earlier, helped me out with dates on things. Things change down here pretty quickly. It's sometimes hard to keep track of. And today we're going to be talking about holiday celebrations and events and how do you stay sober and sane during the holidays. This is something that typically comes up in AA meetings or the meeting before the meeting or the meeting after the meeting, especially focused, but not exclusively, on people who might be new to sobriety. You may have gotten sober in the past year, past 6 months, past couple of weeks, who knows. And these events are going to go on as usual. I remember early in my sobriety, my wife was involved in doing fundraising for a charitable organization down in the San Francisco Bay Area. And a lot of the fundraising events, well, all of the fundraising events involved alcohol of some sort. it loosens the purse strings, as they say. So I had to, in order to protect myself and my sobriety, I made arrangements with my wife that, I would go and be helpful how I could at the event. And if things got a little too stressful for me, I told her I would just head out to the car and read a book, do something, just take myself out of the situation. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, if we'd go to, say, a company Christmas party, something like that, if there was alcohol involved, which back in those days typically was, when it was time, we would just politely excuse ourselves and hit the road. And on those occasions where I would be going to someone's house, say like a bachelor party or something like that, where there was always going to be booze and most likely drugs of some sort or another, I would make sure I drove myself so I could get out. Mm-hmm. So those are all basic good ideas. But, there are going to be those times where, maybe you're getting back together with family or you still have a decent relationship. And you want to go and spend Christmas. Well, what do you do then? Well, what do you think, Denise?
Well, I think that it was my experience early in recovery. Everyone in my family and my friends and my workplace knew that I was in a program, outpatient program, and that I was, not drinking because that was a part of the program that I was in. And so I was just pretty honest and upfront. And I think that I was met pretty well with all of that, with like the work parties and the family and everything like that. So I guess my thoughts would be as honest as you can about things. I think that when you're at family's house, that there's a possibility there is going to be a liquor cabinet. So you need to be thinking about that ahead of time, if that's the case. Like, typically we know our in-laws or our parents or brothers or sisters and what their home looks like, and then discern, is it going to be an okay space to go? Is there conversations in the situation that maybe your family or friends would be able to help with that? Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've always mentioned every year is that I'm a person who definitely believes in thinking ahead and having like a plan, a couple sure. of things that you could do to remove yourself from the situation or talk to someone. And so I like that you said driving yourself. I think that's really helpful. It also comes to mind that if you are visiting family out of town, do you need to maybe have your own hotel room or something? Or are you able to stay at their home? And then also, I've come to see where having like some helpful phrases can be really helpful in situations wherever you might be. Practice like what's going to come out of your mouth most naturally.
Sure.
When someone offers you a beverage and, you need to politely say no thank you or something like that.
Right.
I just think thinking about or talking with someone about what is something naturally that would flow out your mouth pretty easily.
Yeah,
so that you don't have to make it such a big deal because it can seem like a bigger deal than it is.
Right. A friend of mine taught me a really, I think, an excellent way of dealing with that. The place, you're going someplace and they have an open bar or whatever, and
yeah.
the guest will, would you like a drink? What he does, he says, oh, just show me where the bar is. I'll go help myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you can
varying
go over
answers,
there and,
yeah.
get a glass soda. Like everyone else mm-hmm. is using, put some Coke in it, squeeze a lime, put it on the side. Nobody needs to know.
Yeah.
And, my favorite thing was I actually like tonic water. Mm. So I would get tonic water and put a little squeeze of lime in it and put it on the edge of the glass. And nobody is the wiser.
Yeah.
I
like that because, what works for your comfort level? Like
right.
If you want to just kind of blend in and just, that's a great example.
Yeah. And, it's not like I got a vicarious thrill. It just... most people, like you were saying earlier, most people, if they know you and care mm-hmm. about you, are not going to push alcohol on you.
Right.
But there are those places where you go, oh, well, come on, man, let me buy you a beer, something like that, or get you a beer or whatever. can also do what I've done in the past in a casual situation. You just say, oh, no, I don't drink because every time I drink, I have allergic reaction. I break mm-hmm. out in handcuffs.
Yeah, misdemeanors, you know, and felonies and DUIs. You know,
very
and...
funny, and that usually diffuses it. Yeah.
Yes, humor. Humor is good.
So mm-hmm. so that does work. And you know, like I said, you know, people who care about you, typically, you're not going to have an issue. But then you might be, you know, if you're in a situation where there's always Uncle Frank who, you know,
just doesn't get
drinks,
it, huh?
Yeah, just, or he drinks too much and he's in your face, you know, curling your eyebrows with the you know, whiskey breath. And, you know, you have to be prepared to deal with that too, you know. And a great thing to do too is I know I have well over a couple hundred phone numbers in my book of people who are in my program who I can call 24/7. You know, if I were to do a mass text that just said help, the roads coming into Moscow would be just
flooded
clogged
with people.
Yeah.
Yep.
and you know, that's a real helpful tool too, because maybe you do want to stay, they haven't opened the gifts yet, but you're feeling a little squirrely. Sometimes just a phone call talking to, you know, one of the fellows in, if you're in a program or a counselor or whoever, you know, a close friend who understands what you're going through that might not be there. You know, you can always make that phone call and say, hey, I'm not feeling comfortable. Well, let's talk about it. You know, let's see where you are and you know, maybe you can stay, or maybe it is just time to, you know, feign a heart attack and, you know, leave.
Right.
It's possible.
You can say there's some kind of an emergency. You don't have to say what it is.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I can think of several that are probably inappropriate for radio.
Right.
You know, there's that issues of it, and you know, we talk about protecting your sobriety, but you're also at the same time you're protecting your mental health too.
Yeah.
People can wear you down. There can be stressors in the family or in relationship. I know of people in the program who have done bad things to people in their circle. You know, you might go to an event where some of those people show up.
Yeah.
You know, how do you deal with that? I mean, there's always a possibility for what we call our, you know, ninth step amends process. Mm-hmm. But if you're not there yet, if you haven't worked the steps leading up to that, you're not really prepared to make an amends, you know, immediately, that thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's the best thing to do? Do you, you know, just kind of politely excuse yourself and leave? Well, that's a possibility. And you might, you know, if somebody, hey, you son of a gun, you know, you owe me money, whatever. You can try to, you know, deal with that in the moment and say, yeah, I know I do, and this is what I'm going through right now, and you know, I have every intentions of making that good. I can't right now, but mm-hmm. you know, it is part of my recovery program mm-hmm. to make, you know, to try and amend the stories. That's what an amendment is.
Yeah.
You're not saying I'm sorry, because most people with addictions have worn that phrase out, you know, and it doesn't carry any weight anymore. But when you make an amends, you're amending the end of the story, and you're giving the power for that to the other person. You know, you're saying, what can I do to make this right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, if you're not progressed along and really understand what that is, and, you know, a good way to approach it, you might not want to face that. You might just want to have to go, oh, I see so-and-so, it's time to go, you know.
Yeah, it just depends on where you're at.
Right, exactly.
And,
exactly.
It, you know, and those kinds of things can get you thinking about what it does look like to work towards those amends when you're at that point. Like, or, you know, just kind of filing it in your brain as to different kinds of things with people.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I think that,
just logging those harms.
Yeah, yeah. I think that I definitely had some things that I was thinking about when I got into recovery as far as like fixing relationships and different kinds of things like that. And so the ones that tended to come first were the closest ones to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those are hard ones. And it can also be a process in that situation, because as we notice different things about ourselves and how we're turning our life around, other people are noticing, but it can take a little longer. I think probably because, you know, we feel it internally and we can tell what we're doing. We're working really hard on changing our thoughts and our behaviors and different kinds of things. But other people need to see it for a while, especially if we've had a long history of how we've affected that person, you
mm-hmm.
know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, in my personal case, you know, just the effect I had on my family. I mean, I was, you know, I drank for 30 years, I mean, off and on. I mean, it really got bad probably in the last 5 or 6 years. But, yeah, that doesn't go away just because you're sober.
No, that takes time, because there can be a lot of heart wounds there for people.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And then there's other situations that people bang into normally, you know. It's no secret we just had a very contentious political cycle. You know, a lot of lines have been drawn in the sand, you know, for one side or the other. And, you know, you may be going into a situation like that, you know, that's even people with long recovery, you know, and how do you deal with that? Mm-hmm. I know people who will say they're the black sheep of the family politically, lean more towards one side than the rest of the family does. And that can create some tension at a minimum or some outright battles. Personally, I think it's best to put a boundary there and just say, I don't want to talk about that.
Right.
And then move the subject to something else. How about those Seahawks? You know, I think they should get rid of Geno Smith.
I think it definitely has become something where families and friends do like say, you know, we're not going to talk about politics because of just the different kind of heated things that we interact with in the world, partly because of, you know, social media and different kinds of things. And so there's just so much more that people see and hear and are involved with that it's not the same as like when I grew up, it was like the news. And then, you know, as you talk to your friends and family, you know, kind of a thing. And now I feel like there's just so much more content and areas where you can engage with these types of subjects. And so I see where some people I've been around, I can tell that they've kind of been drenched in it and they're just like, ugh, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they actually say something like, hey, you know, we're not gonna talk about that. Right. I have no problem saying that. I've got like childhood stuff that has to do with politics. So I'm just like, hey, so, cause that has nothing to do with them, you
right.
know, doesn't even really have to do with now. it has to do with past. So,
right.
So that's usually my thing. And I also share about how like over like since the pandemic, it hasn't been a big interest of mine, that my priorities and interests have shifted. I'm very grateful that there are people who are involved in being a part of those things and having opinions and all that encompasses. I'm very grateful, but my priorities and time have shifted into my family and things that have to do with recovery and my church and stuff. And I'm content with that. And I'm very happy that there are so many other people that are involved in that. That's great.
Right.
It's just not really my calling right now or my interest so much.
Right.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Well, so it's like getting comfortable with where you are. And that's the really neat thing is that there's so many people in the world that have different kinds of interest and involvement that it makes it to where we don't have to be into every little piece, you know, unless
right.
we want to be.
And I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said there's so much more content now. I mean, we're
like really
bombarded, you know, in social media
with
so much information that...
It's from our friends and family, too.
Yeah. And I have caught myself wandering down a Facebook rabbit hole. You know, I don't do Instagram. I don't do TikTok. and only rarely glance at X if somebody mentions something about it to me. Mm-hmm. But I can just blow an hour following some thread on some story. And, you know, it's designed to be addictive. I mean, there have been articles out that clearly show the tech companies have figured out that people get a hit of dopamine when certain things happen in front of them. It's not unlike what happens for somebody who is suffering with a porn addiction. I mean, they get a dopamine hit out of, you know, watching pornographic material, and it becomes addictive. I mean, yeah. I used to say, oh, how can you be addicted to porn? It's just something you watch, or, you know, other things that are out in the universe. But when brain chemistry starts changing, that's a real addiction.
Yeah, and I guess that I'm hearing you say, maybe are you starting to understand that a little bit more because of, like, how much the media stuff and the phones and the internet and all that kind of right. stuff kind of has changed, and you see it with people and yourself
right,
and myself.
Right.
Yeah, that's actually a really good correlation to, like, understanding better, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, okay. that's exactly it. I mean, there's just so much out there that you can get pulled into. You really have to take it with the old expression, take it with a grain of salt. This is maybe one person's view on something. And although you may agree with it, you know, put a little space between you and that thought and maybe think about it from a different angle. Yeah. And another thing, you know, when you're dealing with people face to face, which I also blame social media for. The young people now are hopelessly non-socially educated. You know, dealing with people face-to-face. I had a conversation with a young person the other day, and they never looked at me. They were focused on their phone. They were engaged in the conversation, but they were simultaneously just absorbed into this device.
Yeah,
and I got so irritated with that, I reached over and put my hand over the top of it, and they were startled. And I said, "Are you really listening to what I'm saying?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah." And I'm like, "Okay." And they put their phone away, and we had a real conversation at that point. It wasn't just a whatever.
And I've experienced that with my kiddos going to the doctor. I know that my middle kiddo, sometimes I think it was partially the content of, like, why she was there, mental health wise, that she was doing that to kind of like try to ease her situation. But I have actively said, hey, when the doctor walks in, I need you to put your phone away, like, for the whole entire time. Don't touch it. You know what I mean? To both of my girls. Just making it very clear. Sometimes even, like, ahead of time, like so that it's been forewarned and expected that during these times, we don't break this out.
Right. You know? Right.
We're just going to focus on this conversation. We're here for you and what's going on for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And out of respect,
but it makes them really hard for them to engage face to face because they're not getting daily practice at it.
Right.
You know, so, and you see a lot of that reflected in the new technological bullying. I mean, sometimes you won't even see the bully face to face.
Right.
It's all going on in the Ethernet and.
Well,
so anyway, that's
yeah, and I just want to lastly say
a rough thing.
Yeah, and I feel like that also comes into the when you're doing that over the internet, then it can come into your everyday life with your interactions with people.
Right.
So yeah.
Right.
Anyways, we went kind of
went down a rabbit trail there, but I think with good cause because you know, one of the social skills that I've learned is that people love talking about themselves. So if you're in a situation where it's like you feel tense or whatever, ask a person how was your trip to Australia? Tell me about that.
Yeah.
People love talking about themselves.
There you go.
And, you know, just let them lead the conversation there. It's deflection. It's, you know, just getting out of an uncomfortable space and getting into a, I mean, maybe you could care less about Australia, but you know, you can redirect the conversation towards something that's, like, mutually enjoyable for both people instead of having a stressful, silent standoff. Okay, mm-hmm. who's going to break the ice and mention this candidate or, thing that happened since election or whatever.
That is actually really good. Like, if you think of something in common, like a holiday that just happened or time of year, sometimes I'll ask people what's some of the kinds of things that you like to do during the winter or just hobbies or just things you like to do or something like that. Kind of gets, it does get things kind of going a little bit. Ask a question. Yeah.
Yeah. How are things going at your job? Although that could be a loaded question too.
maybe they need to say nice things or maybe they need to vent a little bit.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You don't necessarily want to go down that rabbit hole. So, you can change the mood and you can get into something that's, mm-hmm. interesting to them, interesting to you, that has nothing to do with those stressors you might be facing.
Yeah.
And I think you also have to be prepared, though, for that person who asks you, how's your sobriety going? The temptation is to just say, I've got this many days and I'm, feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. But, be prepared to tell them what you're doing. I'm in AA, I'm working NA, I'm working on the steps. And maybe explain to them a little bit about, most people probably are aware anymore that there are 12-step programs out there that help people get sober and stay sober, but they don't really know much about it beyond that.
Yeah.
If they're willing to listen to you or curious about it, feel free to say, I'm doing this AA program and we have these steps and, we start out with this and then move to this and this and mm-hmm. and work our way through and, explain to them that, it's a spiritual program of actions or whatever program you're working. Could be
I was going to say, I think the first couple
recovery.
The first couple years when I was in the Latol drug court program, I talked about that a lot. It was a lot of what I spoke of and work and church and just really how my life was changing, the different kinds of things I was working on. It was really kind of cool, because that was a really in-depth, entailed commitment and a lot of changes were happening. So it was pretty cool to be able to talk about that.
Yeah, and you might be surprised to find out, I have found this out, that people that you didn't think were that invested in you actually are, mm-hmm. To a point where they actually want to know how you're doing. And they want to see you succeed, and they want to be supportive, but they don't know what to do. What does that look like beyond not offering you a drink?
Yeah.
Funny story, I've told it before, where a friend of mine was putting on a bachelor party for another mutual friend of ours. So I went over to his apartment beforehand to help him kind of set up and stuff. And while we were there doing it, he's having a beer, I'm drinking a Coke, and it's all good. And he says to me, Johnny, I know you don't drink, but I got some cocaine in the bedroom if you want to go. And I'm like, that doesn't really, fit into my program because, I'm trying to straighten my life out so that I can do it without having to be altered. So that would probably just not be a wise thing for me to do. And he was like, okay. So you're not going to smoke pot anymore? No, not going to do that either. I had not done that for quite some time at that point, but my history with him, was we smoked a lot of weed back in the days and did a lot of other substances, only whenever we could get our hands on it. But we did. So, it helped him to understand that the idea of being sober is being sober overall.
Right, off of all the things.
And that story actually has a kind of a weird ending because long after that party, things down the road, I got a call from this fella mm-hmm. asking me tell me about this AA thing you're doing.
Planted a seed.
Yeah. So I introduced him to the program, got him to some meetings. He initially tried the, what's lovingly referred to as the marijuana maintenance system, where you don't drink, you just smoke weed, or I think they call it California sober or something weird like that. Anyway, and I talked to him about it, and I said, you know, it's really, you're really just trading one thing for another thing. So, you know, if you want to be sober, you kind of got to say goodbye to all of that. And I said, it's fine because this program will help you get past that as well. There's a reason why NA, SA, all the dash A's programs out there basically have used, with permission, the AA book as a basic, thing. And eventually he did, and I think he's got about, 18 years, 19 years now. No, more than that. He's in the 20s, because it wasn't that long after I got sober. And I'm coming up on 30 years. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, anyway, yeah. It's funny how you can have an influence on people without even realizing
it. Right, because you're just being yourself and sharing where you are.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's actually very valuable.
And that's not unusual, you know, for things like that to happen during this season. Another thing you can do is, talking about activities and whatnot, you can, you can plan your own sober activity.
You can.
My AA home group, Friday night group, we put on a sober New Year's Eve party every year. Mm-hmm. And we invite not only people who are members, but, you know, their families, their kids, and just have a celebration for New Year's like any other celebration. That's for awesome. New Year's is just sober and it's safe. And you're around people with a like mind. So if you want to go out and celebrate on New Year's Eve, you can find those sober events and go have fun with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a blast. We usually have like a potluck of some sort. Usually it's like, because we start later in the evening, it's like, you know, bring desserts or snack foods or whatever, and people bring stuff. And we have a couple of people that speak and, tell their recovery stories. And then we That's break cool. out the games and the cards and, you know, just have a good time, visit and talk. There's beverages there. There's, you know, all kinds of time just to have fun and enjoy. That's and cool. We're not a glum crowd. We have pretty outrageous senses of humor.
I'm sure.
Very little is off limits. A lot of good poking fun at each other. But also a lot of good sharing face to face on how things are going. You know, how is your life going? You know, I'm having trouble with this. Oh, you know, I went through something like that. I'll share with you what I did about it. Maybe that'll be helpful.
Yeah.
So, you know, the socialization in the sober community is really a healthy thing. I tell people when they come in, I said, you know, if you stick with it, you're going to make a lot of just incredible friends in AA. That's the good news. The bad news is you're looking at them right now. So, you know, take advantage of that. You know, you may have met somebody in a meeting who, you know, throws a sober thing with their family involved and is more than happy to bring other people over. I got invited to a Halloween party this year, sober Halloween party that an individual was throwing. It's from the program, but it wasn't like our New Year's Eve thing where a group is actually sponsoring it and renting the hall and all that. And then also a Thanksgiving, you know, like a Friendsgiving thing, I think they call it now.
Yes, Friendsgiving, yes.
You know, and I couldn't attend because my wife and I had already made plans, but, I talked to him afterwards and it was well attended. People had a good time. Mm-hmm. This guy's a savant when it comes to games. He has invented these games. He was telling me about a game, and this man's been on our show before, a game he invented that has the capacity to teach like kindergartners how to program in code, but without using all the buzzword and technology stuff. He renamed it all, reconfigured it, and thought of a way to make a game about putting all these things together. So at 6 years old, basically you could code if you wanted to, or at least you understood it.
So if I got the six-year-old version, I'd probably get it, right?
Right, right. And that's funny you say that, because that's exactly
that's
what I said.
That's probably where
I'd
be.
Mean, maybe that's an adult game.
Yeah, I was going to say, whoever can just show up for that and benefit from learning. Yeah, just the newbie to tech.
Yeah. So what are your plans for the Christmas holiday coming up? I would imagine some stuff's going on with your church.
Yeah, so this is the first year that I will actually be staying in the area. And so that's a bit of a change. We'll do Christmas with my under 18-year-old girls in the morning, and then some point in the day we'll go over to my adult daughters with the grandkids and such, and spend the rest of the day there is, I think, what's happening. And
Can I go skiing?
Yes, the girls will go skiing with their dad. Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And so that's something that they're very much looking forward to. I think that for now, since I had spine surgery earlier this year.
Hold
like
off.
The end of June. I'm actually not roller skating right now or snowboarding or skiing, taking a break from that. And so we'll see where things are maybe next season. I would like to do something that's, you know, seasonal kind of stuff. So I'll work on that. But
Snowshoeing.
Yeah, that'll probably kick my butt a little bit.
It's fun.
Yeah, it looks like it'd be fun. Also looks like it'd be a workout for sure.
Oh, it is.
So the first handful of years that I went snowboarding when I was in my 30s or late 20s, I took those hand warmers and I put them in my hands and in my boots and in my back pocket and in my front pocket. Did this whole thing. Because I'm not sure if they had those like vests and coats and everything like that, that like they have warming things now.
Yeah,
they have actual like... What are they, battery
heaters?
Run or
yeah,
something?
They're battery powered. Yeah,
man. See, that's what we need for going, you know, snowboarding and shoeing and all these kinds of things. We need those.
Yeah, I think
that sounds cool.
The first ones were actually developed for hunters. You know,
and
who are going out in the fall when it's cold
day.
And you're sitting still in a tree stand, so you haven't got much circulation going on to. Keep you warm, so you got all these heated vests and heated socks and you know cover pants. Mm-hmm. Where skiers, you know,
at least
when you're exercising like that, you're generating a lot of heat. So, you know, a couple layers of plastic and insulation and snow pants and stuff probably keeps you going okay.
It pretty much does, and it's really cool because I think those things you can just like turn them on and off. So depending upon whether is it windy that day or is it kind of damp, you know, did you start out kind of cold but now you've exercised and you're good, so you can turn it off. That actually sounds really cool. I saw those on Amazon and I heard about them. So
neat.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you put it on your Christmas list for Santa.
Yeah.
I mean, just being in those buildings sometimes in the winter.
It's drafty.
You could use.
Yeah, it's drafty, for real.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think that's so far what I got going on. I actually got 90% of my Christmas shopping done the day before Thanksgiving. I'm super proud of that. That has never in my life happened. And that was pretty neat.
Oh, cool. Good
for you. Moving forward, I feel like it's going to be pretty stress-free for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah, my wife and I dumped off all our long distance packages yesterday.
Nice. I'm going to do that this week
too. So that'll get to the people in Michigan and California and the West Side and you know, all those folks in plenty of time for the holidays. Mm-hmm. I think there's still, you know, there's always that, oh, crap, we forgot about Uncle Billy, you know, sort of thing.
I know, but, especially the ones that are, like, far away where it's going to take, like, a week to get there. It's like, like, last minute, you're like, oh, dang it, it's going to be, like, a New Year's Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Sorry, man, it's, like, it's on the way, you know. My family's back on the East Coast.
Right.
Well, a few people, you know, so it's pretty far.
Yeah, I'll do a little advertisement for the U.S. Postal Service right now. You can go online, and they have a website you can go to, and you can generate your own package labels. Mm-hmm. They have free boxes at the post office you can either go and get, or they'll deliver them to you in a couple of days. And it's their priority mail program.
Wow.
But if you go online and use this program they call Click and Ship, you can actually get like a pretty significant discount under going into the post office and standing in line and waiting forever. Because you print out your own label, you slap it on the box, you walk into the post office, you throw it in a bin or on the counter there, and you say bye, and you're out.
Bail. That's a great idea.
Yeah, so I encourage people to check that out. You can also like buy stamps.
And it saves the line for the rest of us who only have a few things to mail this season, who are going to stand into the line because we don't have a printer that's going to print off those tags.
Oh, well, they fixed that too.
Oh, get out.
Because you still have to go into the post office, or if you pick a date a couple of days in the future to mail them, which you can do. Either say, I'm going to mail it today, or say you're getting stuff together on Saturday evening. You can plug in that you're going to mail it on Monday. But they even have an option now for pick up a label or have a label delivered to you. So they'll bring you the label in your mail, you slap it on the box, hand it back to the postman, and off you go.
So what I hear is the Postal Service is catching up with the times so that we will use them.
Right.
Because there's just so much now that's happening where we're not using the Postal Service. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Good job, guys. Good job.
Yeah, they're coming around. It's a good thing.
This is how I hear about things. My friends tell me. I don't find out on my own.
Well, it has little or nothing to do with keeping you sober over the holidays, but it might keep you a little more sane.
That's what I was going to say. Sometimes I guess there is that part of it too, is the stress financially, is the hurrying around and, you know, getting gifts for all the people and just the kind of that pressure of the holidays on adults.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, if you have those expectations of the way certain things are going to be, or you feel that pressure, it can be kind of stressful.
Yeah.
So things that make it a little bit more easygoing is good.
Yeah. Well, and we would be remiss not to remind people that if things become overwhelming, the Rural Crisis Center Network is here.
Yeah.
There's somebody that can talk to you and help you navigate that. For peers, people who are, you know, struggling with substances or you can also come into the recovery center and talk to a recovery coach
you. Yeah, that's correct.
Or a peer volunteer. They're all over the place here. Mm-hmm. And, help you turn down the volume.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always have to be at 11. You can crank it down, you know, and we have ways to help you deal with that.
Absolutely. And it also comes to mind that I've had some interactions, people that have been seeking different kinds of inpatient treatment and help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we can help you with here, find maybe what you're looking for. Also, you know, there definitely are ways to like Google things and just look stuff up today's day and age. Yeah. But, if you're feeling like you need to do something like that during the holidays is a great time.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
yep.
It's always a good time of year if you need to stop and get some help with your mental health or substance struggles.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
No exception this time of year.
Yeah. Just always take care of yourself in those areas. Putting it off, you know, it's going to eventually need to be taken care of. So.
Yep. Exactly. Well, you know what? We're out. The end of our time here.
Okay.
So thanks, Denise, for sitting in today and sharing your thoughts. And I'll close it up with the usual. You know, if you think you have a problem with substances or maybe behavioral health, you do. When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide.